Pressure is building on tech giants Apple and Google to dump a Saudi mobile app from their platforms. The app lets men track and control the movement of women in Saudi Arabia. The app, called Abshir, was launched in 2015 by the Saudi government, and it can be downloaded from Google Play or the Apple App Store, the iTunes App Store. It allows men to manage women under their guardianship by giving or revoking their right to travel through airports and tracking them by their national identity cards or their passports. Rights groups are accusing the technology giants of facilitating gender discrimination. Rothna Begum is the senior women's rights researcher for the Middle East and North African region at Human Rights Watch in London. Rothna Begum, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you.
Can you explain first for us, Rothna, how the Abshir app works?
Sure. So Abshir is actually a generic government-based app. So on the face of it, it looks quite banal. But part of the function of this app is to allow men to control the movements of their female dependents. Now, that is because Saudi Arabia has what's known as a male guardianship system, in which a woman from birth until death must have a male guardian who can decide on a number of things on her life, including her ability to travel abroad. This specific part of the guardianship system is then managed through this government portal site like Abshir, which is based on the website, as well as through a mobile platform. It means that a guardian can decide from which airport to which airport she can travel, how often she can travel. It can provide her also unlimited travel for the duration of her passport. And a male guardian can decide to receive SMS notifications when she travels through the airports as well.
How does it know when she's traveling through the airports, for instance? I understand that it could send an alert when her passport number comes up, but how does it know when she's traveling through an airport?
So this is a government app. So what it does is it's connected to the Ministry of Interior, so the immigration services themselves. So it's part of the border controls tracking system. So when a woman goes through, she is registered as a dependent. So when she goes through, it's clear on the system that she has permission from a guardian to travel abroad. And then because he's clicked on the notification, it then will automatically send a text message to him saying that she has traveled.
Okay, and if it sends that message and the guardian hasn't given permission, then what would happen?
In fact, the issue is that he can give the permission in itself, right? So he can
if, for instance,
she decides she wants to travel tomorrow and he's had an argument with her that night, the next day he could change it. She's on her way to the airport, she gets to the airport and she can't travel. If she's managed to travel, and as in without his permission for whatever reason, then he receives a notification, it's too late, but then he could try and maybe find a way to sort of get her back. So we've had obviously situations of Saudi women who have tried to flee the country, and the Saudi authorities themselves have been able to try and forcibly return them, or have sought to return them as well.
We've also had situations, and in recent times situations, I think, where the app has been used by women to help them flee. And there is a counter-argument emerging here. Mona Elthaway, who you know, a prominent Saudi feminist and writer, she's tweeted a message from a Saudi woman who says that while the app is an abomination, it's all just a symptom of the problem. And before it was available, guardians would often just force women to stay at home because the paperwork actually to give permission was really onerous, for instance. And the other element of that is it is possible for women in some cases, and we have heard of this, to get their hands on the mobile phone to change the authorization in the app so they can leave the country. So do you think we need to be careful here before we make calls for this app to be black banned?
Well, the truth is that the app itself is not going to remove the bigger problem. The bigger problem is that the Saudi authorities refuse to allow women to make those decisions themselves. They're the ones who are enforcing this male guardianship system. So while Apple and Google, for instance, could go to the Saudi government and say, remove the guardianship function of the app and we will allow it to continue, the truth is that it's still going to continue on a website, on a government portal site, or through a paper permission. And really what we want is for governments around the world to be calling on the Saudi authorities to tackle and abolish the guardianship system in its entirety. The app itself makes it easier for men to control and be notified when their women dependents leave the country. But the truth is we need to go much further than this. We need to be calling for the end of the entire guardianship system.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 22 past six. Rothna Begum is the senior women's rights researcher for the Middle East and North Africa region at Human Rights Watch. I'll come back to the guardianship in a moment, but just to stick with the app, because there's a bit of a campaign now coming out of the United States where a Democrat senator has demanded that Google and Apple get rid of the app from their platforms. Do you support that call anyway in the short term?
In the short term, Apple and Google are actually seem to be reviewing the app now that it's been flagged to them. And they should be going back to the Saudi government and asking them to remove that specific function. And they should be going further. We should be talking to the Saudi authorities about why they even have this in the first place. And the senators and other government officials around the world, they should be looking to really target the Saudi authorities themselves. It's one thing to talk to Apple and Google about it, but really the pressure needs to be on the Saudi authorities.
How widespread is the app, do you know, in terms of the travel permissions?
In terms of how much they can provide permission for?
No, how many are using it? Yeah, have you got any sense of that?
I think there are apparently a million users, but you know it's a country of 20 million people, so there's a lot of people using this app.
Okay, so the push is on now for Apple and Google to take the app off their platforms. As you say, if Apple and Google start to pressure the Saudi government through the app issue about the guardianship, is that going to make much difference? I mean, rights groups have been calling for a long time for Saudi Arabia's guardianship laws to be repealed. What do you think, if anything, might make that happen?
I think the fact that we're talking about it is highlighting how the system works, because what Saudi Arabia has been doing is not tackling the big male guardianship system. They've been finding new forms of modern technology to reinforce patriarchy. And we shouldn't be having companies really looking to reinforce this or facilitate threats and discrimination and harassment as is happening through this app. But what we would like to see is for companies and governments around the world really pushing Saudi Arabia to say, look, it's not just modern technology. It's about the fact that you have this patriarchal system that must be dismantled in its entirety.
Has anyone taken them on? Any major companies taken them on, or any major governments taken them on? You know, governments took on Saudi Arabia over the Khashoggi murder, but this is something different.
Well, we really called on the other government officials to really come through for the women's rights activists who have been arrested since last May. These are the women who fought for the driving ban to be lifted, but when the authorities were about to lift the driving ban, they arrested them.
Now, and those women are still under arrest?
They're still under arrest. We've got at least 10 women are still in prison without charge or trial. It's been almost a year now. And these women have also suffered from torture, allegations of sexual assault and harassment. And yet, governments around the world are not doing enough to talk about the release of these women. Canada was the only government that's talked in a tweet about the release of these women. And in doing so, the Saudi authorities reacted very strongly against them. But we're not really seeing very many other governments come to the fore and say, for the Saudis themselves, who have been fighting for reform, they should not be imprisoned for their actions. It's one thing for everyone else to say what they would like Saudi Arabia to be doing in general, but for the activists, the rights defenders, the people, you know, in Saudi Arabia fighting for this change, why are they being imprisoned?
And just finally then, Rothna, the Crown Prince had, you know, made much of the fact that he was lifting the driving ban. He's also eased some restrictions on women's dress. He's expanded the number of areas women can work in, the number of fields they can work in, for instance. He's done some of those things. Has there been any comment from him about the guardianship?
Not really. So there was a moment in April 2017 when the authorities said that they would repeal arbitrary restrictions on guardianship and they would review all other parts of the guardianship system. But we haven't really seen the end of that review and what's happened to and whether they're going to dismantle any part of that system. The reforms that have happened after a very long time, and they're fairly superficial. The fact is that women still, until their death, must go to their son or their brother or their husband for permission for things like marrying or undertaking higher education or even leaving prison, as well as traveling abroad and obtaining a passport. You know, there's lots of crucial decisions about their life that they still have to go to a male guardian for. And the Saudi Crown Prince is not interested in real women's rights reforms. He's interested in what looks like a PR version of a reform and to sell that agenda to the rest of the world. Okay. So it makes him look good. But we know that the Crown Prince is not interested in reform because he's locking up all the reformers. If he really cared, he would be championing the activists who have been doing this for a very long time. They've not just been championing, fighting against the government about this. They've been winning hearts and minds within Saudi Arabia. And okay, if you're doing that and you're trying to change Saudi society, why would you lock up those people?
Rothna Begum, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Rothna Begum is the Senior Women's Rights Researcher for the Middle East and North Africa region at Human Rights Watch.